Genesis chapter number 6. I want us to look at this at a very practical, I want to take a very practical approach. I don't want to spiritualize Noah was representative of, you know, of Israel or whatever. I want to look at this as a real family facing a real storm, and how did they make it? And what was key in their life? And you'd have to agree with me, the storm is coming. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. It's coming. It's, you know, our country becoming unfavorable to Christianity is something that we know is going to happen. Amen. And so I trust God will help us to get a hold of something tonight that I'm seeing disappear from most churches where I go. And I believe it's key. But I want to just start in chapter 6, verse 14. You can stand in reverence to the scripture, and we'll read chapter 6, verse 14 down through. We'll just stop off at chapter 7, at verse number 5, okay? Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make of it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female. And of the beast that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female. To keep seed alive. Notice that statement right there. To keep seed alive. That stuck out to me even as I'm reading it here, and I just want to mark it for a purpose in a little bit. To keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Of course, the story goes on. You can read it after service or when you get home. But we'll stop there for sake of time. Let's bow for a word of prayer. You can be seated. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, for your divine help, fresh oil, unction from on high. Lord, I pray that you'll bring to my attention, Lord, everything, Lord, that I need to see, everything, God, that I need to say. Help me, Lord, I pray to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Lord, may this not just be information. May it not be just a sermonette. But Lord, may it be a word from the Word to us today. Lord, I ask God that you would help us to think your thoughts. Lord, help us, our Father, on the inside to have your Spirit in control. Lord, forgive us, cleanse us of every sin. May your will be done. And we'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you'd have to agree tonight that this is probably one of the most successful stories in the Bible. True story. I'm talking about the greatest storm ever to hit planet Earth. And here is a family that made it. And I believe that is the will of God, don't you? That the family makes it. I don't believe that God will ever send a storm in your life or in mine that it's His will for us to sink, that it's His will for us to go under. I don't believe that. Well, anyway, as we look at all of this, the details that was given, and there are two verses that says basically the same thing that stuck out to me as Brother Travis was dealing with that young at heart, focusing his lesson upon Noah and various things that associated with that, brought out some great truths. Verse number 22 of chapter 6, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Now let me ask you this. Do you think the outcome would have been as it was had Noah not did all that the Lord had commanded him? What if you'd made some substitutions? Well, you know, instead of gopher wood, we're going to put oak, or, you know, when God specifically said gopher wood, you know, He specifically said the length of it. Going to be like 450 feet long. Well, you know, that's extreme, Lord. I think 350 is plenty. Or 225, you know. I mean, after all, what is a boat for anyway? It's never rained. I mean, what if he had substituted and argued and you know, just kind of took matters into his own hands? I'm asking, would the outcome have been successful? Would that ark have survived that storm? I believe all of us would have to say no, it wouldn't. Look again, verse 22. "Thus did Noah according to ALL, all that God commanded him, so did he." He didn't leave out nothing, no details. He did everything just like God said. Look at chapter 7, verse number 5. "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him." The word that stuck out to me was the word command. Of course, that don't mean nothing unless you attach all the rest of it to it, that Noah did. Noah did all according to the Lord had commanded him. And so I want to preach tonight, or at least I'm going to start. There's no way probably that I can preach this in one service. I wasn't planning on preaching this tonight. I was wanting to go another direction. Actually, I was wanting to finish up the series that I've been looking at on Wednesday nights on secondary spirituality. I looked at that, was convinced that was what the Lord wanted, but the closer I got to church time, that was leaving. And so here we are. I want to preach on the complementing commandments of God. The complementing commandments of God. We are living in an hour when people have a negative view about the commandments of God. You know, when you hear commandment preaching, oh Lord, here that comes again. You know, all of them thou shalt nots and all of them thou shalts, you know. But I believe God wants us to look at this passage and show us in our day, the way that you and I are to survive the severe storms that's coming in our life, personally or against the church collectively, listen, the only way we can survive that is found in our relationship to the commandments of God. And when I say commandments, I'm not talking about specifically the Ten Commandments. There's far more than that. Amen. Now I'm going to jump way ahead here and make this statement. God gave it to me. God, I've never found anywhere in this Bible that I have and you have where God communicates to us through suggestions. Think about that now. That's a statement. I want you to get that in your heart. I don't find anywhere in the Scripture, Brother Carroll, where God communicates through suggestions. Just kind of, well, I recommend this, you know. I recommend, you know, you go to church, or I recommend you get saved. No, the Bible says He's commanded all men everywhere to repent. Amen? So God, I'm convinced, only speaks through commandments. And so, and of course, we're living in an hour when, even in our country, the Ten Commandments as such are attacked and has been for some time. Removing them from public places and governmental places and taking away these Ten Commandment monuments and removing the Ten Commandments from walls of government buildings and all of that, you know. I grew up, you know, in my young life, I remember being familiarized with the Ten Commandments even in school. I mean, we'd say the pledge to the flag. We'd, you know, I mean, really early in my life, I can remember our teacher praying with us before we started class in the mornings. Amen. I don't know if she was praying for us or for her, but I remember that. Amen. We was a bunch of heathens is what we were, amen, or I was anyhow. I'm glad God saved me. Amen. That's right. But listen, basically this is the truth that commandments are given in the area of do and do not. But then there's another set also describing commandments, and that is be and be not. So just about all of the commandments that are applicable to us, if you will, fall under the heading of do and do not, and be and be not. Amen. If we got the be right, we're probably going to have the do right. Look, let me give you an example. Joshua chapter number 1. You don't necessarily have to turn there unless you'd like to, but at least write it down. Starting in verse 6 of chapter 1, be strong. That's not a suggestion. That is a command given. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do. See, there in the same verse you have be and do. Do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. So that very context is about what has been commanded, and it's dealing with being and doing. Amen. I don't think that really needs defining. I believe you know what being, it's what you are. And of course, doing is what you do. But it goes on to say in verse number 8, this book of the law shalt not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do, there's another, that again, according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now listen to verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Everybody hearing that? Have not I commanded thee, be strong. So be strong evidently is a command. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So it's very clear there that God has given commandments in do and do not class. Let me give you another example. Romans chapter number 12. Most of you can quote this scripture. I can, but I want you to look. I want to at least look at it. Paul, writing to the believers there, said this. Listen to it. And listen for the be and be not. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not. That's pretty emphatic. That's pretty clear. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye. Do you get that? There's a be not and a be ye right there back to back. He said there's a negative. Be not conformed to this world. But then there's a positive. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So let's go back into Genesis here a minute. Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 22 and chapter 7 verse number 5. Both of these tells us that Noah did all according to what God said. So I began to think about how that those commandments were not a negative in his life. They were actually what God knew would work when the storm hits. Think about that. Noah didn't know what a storm was, other than what God said. Noah didn't know, you know, why do I need a 450-foot long boat? And just to help you get an idea of how big that is, a football field is 300 feet long. So, I mean, you can figure how long that was. 150 feet longer, 50 yards, I guess that would be, 50 yards longer than a football field. I believe that's right. Guessing at it. Hope that's right. Amen. But listen, Noah did it all. He's, you know, whatever God said, lengths, you know, specific wood, three stories, window, certain size window, door in the side, all of that God gave, he was given in commandments. Why? God knew what was coming. God knows what it's going to take for you to survive. Listen, when God gives us a commandment, whether it is do or do not, or be not, he knows what the future holds, and your survival is at stake. Now, I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. I want to make it. I do not want to go under in a storm that comes because of my lack of preparation or my disobedience to God's commandments. Amen. And so I want us to look at this thought here tonight, if the Lord will help us with it. God's commandments are being removed. Of course, I wrote this down: visibly, verbally, practically, daily, in churches, country, families, individuals. People are making light of commandments when God says do or do not, or be not. You know, and I don't have time to deal with the examples on this. It comes to my mind just now. A lot of times when, like for instance, Romans 12, when it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, those are given in the active voice. And that simply means you do it. And it's a command given. It is to be carried out based on the authority of the one commanded it. So when God's word says, be not conformed, then that is putting that commandment in your responsibility for you to engage your will, make the choice, and to do that or to not do that, whatever the case is. I think it's interesting, Brother Mark, that through these verses, God never gave Noah a do not, that I found a do not commandment. You know why that is? If it doesn't line up with the do commandments or the be commandments, then discard it. Do you think that Noah went out and found gopher wood already cut down, Brother Scott? Already squared up? Already to size? Absolutely not. I don't know how he cut those trees down. I don't know how, you know, he split those trees and got the boards, you know, where they needed to be, the size they needed to be. Can you imagine all that was involved in the details of this thing? Can you imagine that? I mean, I can't get a hold of it. I can't grasp in my mind in a day that he was living in, having to go out. And we don't know how far away these gopher wood trees were. We don't know if he had to travel a great distance. Well, then you got, how am I going to get those trees down? How am I going to get the trees hauled out? How am I going to get them split up? How am I going to get them cut up? Brother, you're talking about a project. I think sometimes in our modern day of conveniences, just mash a button and it's done. You know, put something in the microwave, in a few seconds it's ready to eat. We think, I guess, when we read some of these Bible stories, that, wow, they must have had some kind of magic wand. No, it took Noah at minimum 120 years to build this thing. He couldn't have had a lot of conveniences for him to take that long. And I remind you, he didn't have a whole lot of help either. I'm about sure that Ham, Shem, and Japheth helped. Amen. I'm about sure that Mrs. Noah helped, and probably the three daughter-in-laws, they probably were helping. And far as we know, that is likely the only ones involved in keeping the commandments that God had given. What if Ham said, hey, Dad, you know, man, I am wore out. Why don't we, man, here's another tree over here. It's a lot closer. It's not as big. It's not gopher wood. In fact, this is the only time it's used in the scripture. It's not gopher wood. You know, some of you were raised going for wood, so that's the gopher wood. But, you know, I'm glad he didn't cut no corners. Dad, why do you have to be so strict? Dad, why? I mean, you're telling me we have to cut this to the exact measurement? It can't be no bigger, no longer, no shorter. It's got to be exact. I don't understand, Dad, why you're so strict. Any dads in here feel that way or here maybe have heard that in your life? Well, I don't understand, preacher. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Preacher, why is it that everything's got to be so cut and dried? Everything's got to be nailed tight. Everything's got to be cut to what God said. Well, God said it. I believe that's all it needs to be said. But anyway, I want to give you some things to think about. The first thing, number one, I notice here the complementing commandments of God. And I use the word complimenting because I want you to know that the commandments of God are not against you, they are for you. Just like illustrated in our text. The first thing, Brother Travis, that I saw the Lord impressed my heart to bring out is this. The complimenting commandments of God are for our identification. There's only two classes of people here in chapter number 6 of Genesis and chapter 7. You have those that are obeying God's commandments on the ark, and then you have the world's population, which could have been as many as 3 million people, and they were all given to wickedness and sin. So you really don't have but two classes of people. What was it that identified which class that Noah and them was in? They kept the commandments. Now, we're not talking about salvation here. We're not talking, nobody's ever been saved by keeping a commandment. If anybody could have been saved by a commandment, I want to tell you, Adam and Eve probably could have been saved as much as any of us had a chance, more than any of us had a chance. They only had really one commandment to keep. They lived in a paradise. They were in a state of innocence. And they still dropped the ball in disobedience to one commandment. I'm saying to you tonight, I'm not dealing here in any way of keeping the commandments for salvation. No. I'm dealing with this from a very practical standpoint that here is a family dealing with a storm, the worst that's ever hit, and how did they make it? They did what God said. If doing what God says does not float in a storm, then we don't have nothing anyway. We might as well all go to the house. Say amen right there. Amen. I don't know. I hope we get it. But anyway, it is for our identification. Amen. It identifies who God is. He's the one giving the commandments. He's the one that has the authority to command. And it identifies who the saved people are. Amen. Amen. That's right. You have believers and non-believers. You have saved and lost. You have those that are in, those that are out. You have righteous and those that are unrighteous. And you have those that are obedient and those that are disobedient. In 1 Peter 3:20, those that died in the flood was under condemnation because they had disobeyed. Amen. So it's for our identification. Amen. The commandments does not make us God's people. Keeping the commandments, doing what God says to do or not to do, makes it manifest that we are God's people. Amen. Noah was declared to be righteous before he ever got in the ark. Amen. And so it reveals who it is that is saved. Now, I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but we are plagued in our generation, in our church, this level of the church age. Listen, we are plagued with, and this is not a word, but I'm going to make it one, commandment-less living. Probably a word that does define that is lawless living. Amen. But don't forget it now. Don't forget God communicates this way. So commandments cannot save us. But commandments, ladies and gentlemen, makes manifest that we are God's child. Amen. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Now, I wonder how many people that you know, or maybe even here tonight, that when God says do or don't, or God says be or be not, that you just kind of real sort of nonchalantly write that off. Oh, well, you know, that's not really for me. That's no big deal. That illustration, Brother Ivan, I give in Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Does that not apply to all of us? That's not a dispensational thing. That's not a, well, we don't listen to that preacher because it's under the law. No, that's in the church. That's been given to us. It identifies who have been born again, who are really saved, amen? No doubt about that. And I believe the devil's the one that's behind ignoring and disobeying what God says to do or not to do or be not. I believe the devil's behind that, as we see in the Garden of Eden. Listen to these verses. These are New Testament verses, and I want you to listen to them. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse number, I believe it's 3 through 5. I believe that's right. Hereby we do know that we know him. Everybody listen to that? Okay, John, you've got our attention now. You're fixing to tell us who it is that knows God. Isn't that what he's saying? Hereby we do know that we know him. If... All right, you ready? Here comes the condition. Here comes the declaration. Here comes the manifestation. If we keep his commandments. I'm talking about commandments are for our identification. Amen? Verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. Boy, that's strong words. And the truth is not in it. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. That's pretty clear, don't you think so? I think that is pretty clear right there. God says, my people are identified in their relationship, attitude, and submission to my commandments. And if that's the case, and that is the case, I'm making sure I gave you the right reference there. Chapter number 3, let's see. Nope, wasn't chapter 3. Let's see if it's chapter 4. Chapter 2. Thank you, brother. I wrote that down, the actual chapter. So I'm glad y'all found it on your own. Amen. Listen to chapter 14 of John, chapter number 14, verse 15, John's gospel. If you love me, he's talking to disciples, he's talking to his followers. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Chapter 14 of John, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Chapter 14, verse 23. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. In verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. John 15, verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So do we see that tonight? Do we see that the commandments of God, the complementing commandments of God, identify who it is that's saved? Doing what God said, listening to God's leadership, his authority, and us submitting to that and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do that. Would that not bring revival to this church? Would that not bring revival to any church that I know of? Of course it will. Why, anytime, listen to this. Listen, thank you, Lord. Anytime that I've been defeated, it's because I have been disobedient. Anytime that I have been dead spiritually, and I have been that a lot in my Christian life, every time it is attached to disobedience. Amen. Every time there's been decline in my life spiritually, disobedience is the leader. Amen. How can we expect God to bless when we, how could God bless Noah if he would have treated building the ark the way many of us do to God's commandments in our day? Could Noah pray, Lord, I want you to bless this. I sure hope it floats. I didn't do what you told me to. It's shorter than you said. It's not as high as you said. I used different material. I used substitutes. I just kindly figured it didn't matter. What about that? But no, the Bible said two times that Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Number two, I'm moving on. Hey, man, I might get done with this yet. So not only is the commandments of God used, they're for our identification. Outside the ark was a population of people that were living after whatever felt good, do it. No matter what it was. But what was it that separated Noah from that crowd? What was it that identified Noah to be with God and for God? How he responded to the commandments. Now wait a minute, let me ask you something. 2 Peter, I think it is. Let me look right here right quick. I've got it marked here, I think. 2 Peter 3, I believe it is. I'm trying to use my little thin Bible here and I can't find nothing. My preaching Bible's falling all to pieces. Anyway, the Bible calls Noah a preacher. There it is, chapter 2 Peter 2, verse number 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the ungodly. He was a preacher of righteousness. Do you think he preached against sin? I think that's what's implied there. He was a preacher of righteousness, or he was a preacher of right. He was a preacher of right living. He dealt with people's sin. And it wasn't him, it was what God said. And listen, as a result, those people ignored the commandments of God, but yet Noah was God's man. Noah was a Christian in that sense. And how do we know that? His relationship to the commandments of God. Amen. A person that willfully and intentionally ignores what God says brings question marks as to whether they know the Lord. Number two, not only is it for our identification, it is for our sanctification. God's commandments in our text chapter in Genesis shows us that to do what God says is for our sanctification. Now, sanctification, the basic meaning of that is to be set apart for God's purpose and for God's cause. Amen? Noah was set apart, his sons, his wife, and the three daughter-in-laws was set apart from that worldly crowd, that crowd that was lost, that crowd that was in open rebellion against the will of God and the Word of God. I want to tell you, the commandments of God are not against us. They're for us. They're for our identification. Do you think that God wants the world to know that you're saved? Do you think God wants the world to know that you're different? Amen? The commandments of God are for our sanctification. It wasn't just setting Noah apart from that wicked crowd in practice. They were involved in Lord only knows what. Amen. According to chapter number 6 here of Genesis, in verse number 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. We don't know what that all means, but I'm sure if God said it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the hearts was only evil continually, it had to be bad. Especially that next verse where it said it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And he made plans to destroy the earth. So it had to be bad. But listen, he wasn't just set apart practically from them by keeping the commandments. And buddy, I want to tell you, keeping the commandments will pull you apart from the practice of sin. But Brother Travis, it didn't just bring him apart from the practice of that crowd. But it brought him apart from the punishment of that crowd. That crowd ended up dying under the judgment of God. And Noah and his family, because they obeyed God and did what God said, it identified them as belonging to the Lord. Amen? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Listen to it. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. How many saw that right there? Vance Havner said, I'm glad the Lord knows them that are his, because he said, I have a hard time identifying them. But the Lord said, them that are his is made known and manifest in that they depart from iniquity. No one goes to hell, or no one goes to heaven walking toward hell. Amen. Make sure you're saved. Nothing's more important on planet Earth, time and eternity, than you're being saved. How do you know you're saved? Your attitude toward God's authority in your life and what he says to do or not to do and be or not to be. So it's for our sanctification. God's commandments are for our sanctification, not our salvation. Everybody get that one statement, that little one statement Lord give me will help us. God does not give commandments for our salvation. God gives commandments for our sanctification, or our separation, if you want to use that word too. Amen. We'll do what God said to do. Amen. And so we move right along in chapter number 6. Here in Genesis 6, you find that God was stirred up about sin. Everything that was going on around them was due to the rejection of the commandments of God. A lawless and loose generation. That's the hour we're living in, buddy. Amen. A lawless generation. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse, no doubt. But God help us to realize the storm's coming. The day's going to come when there is going to be a eternal separation between those that are saved and those that are not saved. May God help us to side with God, side with His Word. Anyway, let's move on. Not only do we see that the commandments of God are for our identification, the commandments of God are for our sanctification, and I've already hit this one a little bit. The commandments of God are for our communication. In other words, that's the way God communicates to us. All through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, God communicates to us through commandments, as we've already stated that. Amen? God gives commandments, but we live as though they're suggestions. That's when we get in trouble. That's when things go downhill quickly, is that we treat what God said to do or not to do or be or not to be as if that was only a recommendation or a suggestion. God help us all, amen. That's right. But God, listen to this right here, and you think about this. Noah received the communication of God and obeyed God, even though what God said was strange to him. Think about that. What God was telling him to do, he had never seen it done. Build a boat? What's a boat? Why do we need a storm? Or why do we need this, you know? No, listen, it was strange to him. It didn't make sense to him, but yet he obeyed. How many times have we, and I put myself in there, how many times we've disobeyed God in an area because it didn't make sense? Well, it don't make sense. Why would God ask that? You know, why would God want me to do that? Why would God say that? That don't make sense. Well, listen, Noah knew the voice of God and obeyed even though it was strange, odd, never seen before commandments. I wrote this down too. Noah obeyed God not only because of even though the commandments were strange, he obeyed God even though the commandments were strict. There were details given down through here of what to use and all of these things. Commandments given and obeyed even though they were strict. They were precise, they were specific, and they were detailed. I like this because I can relate to it. All of us can. Noah obeyed God not only because of the commandments being strange and the commandments being strict, but also the commandments being strenuous. But it wasn't easy to mind God. Ask Noah. It wasn't easy. It wasn't just a little quick something he could do. Amen. I did a little bit of research on them, on the gopher wood trees, and the study that I've done so far. I should have brought that information with me. But it talked about how hard that was. How hard that was. How hard of a wood it was. Can you imagine dealing with that, Brother Fultz? You deal in the cabinets and all that stuff. Is it hard when you're dealing with hardwood? What's a hardwood? What's something? Hickory. Hickory's hard to plane. It's hard to cut. It's rough on the saws. It puts a strain on everything. Why? It's hard. I don't know how he cut that tree down, those trees down, and how many trees you think it took. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, Lord, you want the gopher wood cut down? I'll cut down this one right here. We're done. No. The Lord said this thing's going to be so many feet wide and so many feet long and so many feet high, three stories. It's going to take a lot of trees. And I don't know what kind of apparatus or thing he used to cut it down. But if it was hard, can you imagine what was involved in that? Can you imagine what it was involved in hauling that? If it's hard, most of the time it's heavy. Pine is not hard, and it's usually light. But if it's hardwood, it's usually heavy wood. I don't know what was involved. Simply put, he minded God, obeyed God, even though the commandments that God gave him were strict and they were, listen, they were strange and they were strenuous, buddy. It's going to take a lot to do it. Sometimes it's going to take, you're going to have to break out the sweat beads, amen, to mind God sometimes. Boy, it'd be easy if God, everything he told us to do was easy, wouldn't it? But most of the time when God tells you to do something, it gets you out of your comfort zone. Son, I don't like that, do you? Yeah, Lord, I'll do that as long as it's convenient. Lord, you mean I've got to go all the way over there to get that gopher wood? Why didn't you want me to build the ark right here where the gopher wood is? I'm just throwing some things out there. Listen, there may be always, when God says do or don't do, there's always going to be the element of inconvenience, and sometimes it's not going to be comfortable. Your flesh will fight it, and you probably could even try to argue, Lord, why? What's the deal with that? But he obeyed God even though the commandments involved strain and stress. Noah, listen to this, and I'm still talking about the communication. Noah minded God personally. The Bible said Noah did. Thus did Noah according to all that the Lord commanded him. So he obeyed personally. Thank God, I'm glad it said that, because obedience can be done personally. It doesn't have to be a crowd. Listen, young people, if you're waiting on a bunch of people to get in there with you, okay, God said to do this, how many's with me? Well, there may not be too many hands go up. If God says build an ark and he's talking to you, praise God, get the hammer and nails and get with it. Amen. Aren't you glad that what God says for you to do is detailed out to where you don't have to guess at it? I get in trouble when I go to guessing at it most of the time, don't you? God help me to not do that. But Noah minded God personally. He minded God practically. He did. He did actively, practically do what God said for him to do, according to all that God had said for him to do. All right, listen to this. Number, whatever this number is. What is this? Three or four? Four. It is for our construction. The commandments of God are not only for our identification, our sanctification, what was number three? We just got through dealing with it. Communication, but also it is now for our construction. Look at this. This never stuck out to me until I began to study on this. Look at verse 14 of chapter 16. Look at the first four words. God speaking to Noah, and God says, make thee an ark. Now it didn't say, and I even wrote it in my Bible right up above it, it did not say make me an ark. He said make thee an ark. That is, hey Noah, I'm telling you what to do, but it's for you. This is for your construction. When God gives commandments, he wants to build something in your life. He's got a design in mind. He's got an overall plan in mind for your survival. And he wants to build something in your life. Well, what was built in Noah's life? What was built in his life? I'll tell you one thing that was built in his life. Confidence. Doing what God says, how God said it, when God said it. And guess what? It did not surprise him when that boat began to float. Amen. Boy, we need confidence built, our confidence built in the Lord, don't we? That what God says to do, it may not make sense. It may look hard. It may sound hard. It may be strenuous. Amen. It may be uncomfortable. But we ought to know, and if you've walked with God any length of time, you're going to know that what God says is right. God's leadership is always in the right direction. Oh, that's good. God's leadership is always in the right direction. Amen. His confidence was built. His confidence was constructed. Amen. Noah wasn't operating on chance or, you know, well, it might work. No, God said it. It's going to work. doing it God's way, it's going to float. Amen. It's going to work. So his confidence was built. His courage was built. His courage to mind God, to stand against sin, to go in the way of righteousness. His courage was built. His convictions was built, constructed. God gives commandments to bring quality to your life. God gives commandments just like putting a fence up around the pasture. That's not against the cow. That's for the cow. A lot of cows would never live. They wouldn't live long. They'd drift off, wander around, get in the road, get run over, get eat up by wild beasts or whatever. Amen. God puts commandments, restrictions in our life for us, not against us. It built his convictions. Well, we need that in our day. Now, I'm not talking about preferences. A preference is different than a conviction. A preference is something that really the Bible is not real clear on, but you know, you think, well, this is how I stand on that. Amen. We're not going to split hairs over that, but now a conviction is when God says do or don't, or be not, and we take that stand. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know. How's that going to do? Ask Noah how it did for him when the storm hit, when the rain started falling and the thunder rolling. Amen. And all that was taking place. Ask Noah. Interview Noah. Hey, Noah, you think it's right to do right? Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said years ago, I heard it on the radio, he said, do right if the stars fall. Do right. It's always right to do right. It's never right to do wrong. It's never wrong to do right. Always do right. Don't ask to repeat that. Amen? But his convictions, God said it. God said it. And oh, I'm telling you, I hear that those voices all the time. Compromise on this. Compromise on that. You know, preachers that I have stood with and stood strong for, that's going, and I mean out and left field. They're changing. They're changing doctrinally. Men that I have preached for, men that have preached here are changing doctrinally. They don't believe what they once did. They're changing in the area of their morals. They're changing in the area of, you know, just various things that one once they would have probably give their life before they compromise. I want to tell you what I believe is one of the undermining things of that. They're getting tired of fighting and standing, and they're looking for the easy route. Amen. And when I see these men that once influenced me caving in like that, devil whispers, why don't you go that route? I can't. I've done been too far. I've done come too far. I've done come too far. Listen, I've done obeyed God too many times to know that it's the right thing, that God will honor that. Amen. The storm's coming, and I know that compromise will never float. The storm's coming, Brother Aaron, and I know to disregard convictions that are Bible-based, listen, to disregard those, listen, will not float when the storm comes. When the rain, so to speak, starts to fall, I want to be able to know in my heart, I did what God said. I did what God said. I did it God's way. Amen. Well, hallelujah anyhow. Here we go. So we're talking about there on the, it's for our construction. God wants to build some things in our life. Amen. That's for us. Number five, boy, this is so good if I can get it out here. Number five, the commandments of God are for our preservation. Son, I don't know if y'all noticed it as I was reading it. And I don't know that it ever stuck out to me that I was studying this and reading it and looking at it and meditating on it. Look at chapter 6, verse 19. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark. Note this statement right here. I have it in parentheses. I just put a mark around it and a star beside it. Here's why: to keep them alive. Obeying God is for the purpose of preservation, keeping things from dying, keeping things alive. Look again in verse 19. Look at verse 20. Come to the end of the verse. Two of every sort shalt thou come unto thee. Why? To keep them alive. Chapter 7, verse number 3. Of the fowls of the air by sevens, the male and the female. Why? To keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. When God gives a commandment, He's got the future in mind. When God gives a commandment, He's got, listen, write this down. When God gives a commandment, He's got our food in mind. I'm still talking about preservation. God, oh boy, this is good. See, the devil will tell you that if you mind God, you're going to starve. It's going to be a miserable life. The only people that's really feasting is that wicked crowd out there in the world. Oh, no. God says, Noah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to build the ark, and it's going to be this dimensions. It's going to have all these details, and it's all this precision. Everything's in there. And Noah, let me just tell you, you need to take on board. Also, you need to take on board animals that you're going to be eating, praise God. Brother Ivan, can I say it like this? God inside of His commandments is the provision of food. God never commands anybody to do anything anytime that you're going to starve doing it. God incorporates in those commandments your food supply. Because God knows, amen, that a dead Noah can't build an ark. Amen. Boy, I don't know about you, but that's good right there. Look at this. Look at chapter. I've seen this a minute ago reading it. Look at verse 21 of chapter 6. And to take unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee, hey Noah, for thee, you and your family, and for them. Now, I don't know if that does much for you, but I'm telling you that fed me, that God inside of His commandments is involved food. That is doing it God's way. Thank God we're going to be fed. Amen. It's not a much of, well, I can't do, and I'm not able to do, and I can't go here, and I can't go there. Listen, no, doing it God's way, you'll have plenty to eat to survive the storm. Amen. That's good. That is good right there now. Listen, God has our provisions in mind. I wrote this down. I had to write it down. That way I won't forget it. God in provision did what Noah could not do. Now keep that statement in mind. God in provision did what Noah could not do. What was it that Noah couldn't do? Create the animals. All these animals that come on board the ark, somebody had been feeding them before they ever got on the ark. Who allowed whatever those animals ate, who allowed that to grow? Noah couldn't do that. God did that. No, listen, God in provision did what Noah couldn't do. He planted, He grew the gopher trees, He furnished the moisture from underneath to feed those trees. He was the one that, amen, allowed those, He created the animals, the fowls, the creeping things. And I still don't know how the cat got on board the ark. Say amen right there, sis. I ain't going to go there. But I was talking to, I might as well. I was talking to the door place up here in Abingdon about the doors out here to be replaced and stuff. And I mean, he don't know me from Adam. I never met this man. And I mean, within 3 minutes of our phone conversation, and he found out I was a preacher, he got to saying, you know what? He said, I don't know how in the world cats got on board that ark. Needless to say, he said he hated cats, and we had great fellowship after that. But I don't know what that's on there for unless they were to catch the rats or something. I don't know. But listen, God in provision, let me finish that. God in provision did what Noah could not do, but then Noah in obedience did what God would not do. God would not build that ark. God would not cut the tree down. God, listen, are y'all listening? There was a part of this commandment God had to do, but then there was a part of the commandment God would not do that Noah had to do. So anytime God says for us to do or not to do, it's not just a one-sided thing. Well, it's just me. No, God's got a side on it that he's accomplishing and a purpose he's wanting to bring to pass. God's commandments includes our food. Praise God. I like that. Not only is our food preserved, look at that. Y'all see that? God said for Noah, and let me ask you something. How long you think it took him to bring that on board? All these animals that's coming in there, all these fowls that are flying in there, all these things that are coming in there, guess who had to gather the food for that crowd? Look what it said, chapter number 6, verse 21. Take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt what? Gather it, not receive it. Like, okay, Lord, send in the apples and the whatever they need to eat. Send it in. No. He said, go gather it. How long do you think that took? And this is probably after the ark was built. He's telling him, all right, when you get the ark built, you need to go get the food because all these animals are going to come in and they're all going to be shut up in there with you. And if you don't have food for them, you may be food for them. Say amen right there. So God may be wanting to include in his commandments food for you to keep you from getting eaten. Amen. There's application there. And it shall be for, listen, it shall be for food for thee and for them. Okay. We got the ark built. I could hear Ham saying it. It's amazing. Ham probably was the one that said it too. Ham. All right, Dad, what are we going to eat? We're getting shut up. Yeah. Ham's going to eat ham. Amen. We're getting shut up in this ark here one of these days soon. And look at that crowd out there. They're having they're kicking their heels up. They're having a time. You better watch it when you start envying that crowd. Lord, Dad, what are we going to eat? We've been involved in obeying God for 120 years. What are we going to eat? God said he'd take care of us. Amen. Not only is the food supply and our sustenance was involved in God's commandments, but our future was involved in God's commandments. Why was it that God said twice, keep them alive? Why did he say there in verse number 21 that this food is going to be for you? God does not want the storm to be the time that we die. We don't, listen, our succession is in mind. God wants to, listen, God has our future in mind when he says do or not do or be or not be. He has our food in mind. He has our future in mind. If Noah and Mrs. Noah and Ham and Shem and Japheth and their wives died on board that ark, there would be no human race today. Amen. God was looking ahead of the storm. God was looking in the future at succession. And it was attached to their commandments. So our food was involved in that commandment. Our future is involved in that. But also our family. Noah said, or God is saying to Noah through these commandments, Noah, this is how you can survive. Noah, if you'll do what I tell you, you can survive the storms. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not, or how big that is, but that's big, I think. The ark of survival was, listen, the results of years of obedience to God's commandments. Brother Jeff, the ark of survival. How did Noah and them survive? Swim for it? No. They were resting in the fact that they had obeyed God. The ark of survival was the results of years of obedience to God's commandment. You can't wait till the rain starts to fall to grab the hammer, the nail, and the saw. Amen. It's too late then. I believe this. I believe God has given us direction. God's given us help. He wants to anyway. That'll prepare us for whatever's coming our way. As an individual, as a family, as a church, as a nation. Play games with your spiritual life. Make light of God's commandments. And when the storm hits, you'll think, oh my goodness, I should have took God's commandments more seriously. Amen. When God gave the commandments, the details of the commandments, he had the storm in mind and how to survive it. They survived because they obeyed God, simply put. Y'all get that? They obeyed God. Or they survived the storm because they obeyed God. But anyway, I hope that helped you. It's for our preservation. God wants us to go on and do something for the Lord. Amen. Noah probably done some of his, listen, I mean, he wasn't perfect. None of us are. None in the Bible are except Jesus. But Noah, listen, all of us, we can trace our lineage back to either Ham, Shem, or Japheth. Every one of us in here. Whole human race. What if they hadn't minded God, died in that flood? I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. But God is looking at preservation. I'm going to preserve you. The storm's not going to be the end of you. I've got plans for you in the future. And amen, doing it God's way will allow you to float instead of sink. Now, is that not a little different, maybe a little different way of looking at commandments? Noah did all of what God said to do. Had he not done it, would the results been the same? Brother Craig, you think it would have been? If Noah had cut corners, if Noah would have said, you know what, it don't really matter. Ladies, as you cook your meal, and all you the good cooks in here, all I'm good at is eating it. That's why I got blood pressure problems. What if you looked at the recipe? How many cooks buy a recipe? I don't know. It looks Greek to me. You cook by a recipe. Is that right? Come on, ladies, help me out. What if you cooked that meal, whatever it is, and you just kind of looked at all of them ingredients and how much of this and how much of that, and you just kind of took it in your own, well, you know, I know it says to use so much of this, but I don't think it needs all that. Or, you know, really, I don't need that item. I think I'll substitute something else. What are you going to do when it turns out terrible? Basic idea, come on ladies, help me out. The basic idea behind following a recipe, which basically is a list of commandments. Use 1/4 cup of whatever. Use a half a stick of butter. Use this, cook it on 350 for 33 minutes. Why the details? Why all those details? Because if you want it to turn out the way they said it'll turn out, you got to do it the way whoever made the recipe said to do it. When God says, here's what I want you to do in your life, here's what I don't want you to do in your life, here's what I want you to be, here's what I don't want you to be, all of that has a design in mind of outcome. Amen.